IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello there, and welcome back to IRS on the Road. We are going to be on the road this week, and you might be on the road as you listen. You never know.
We have to every once in a while give an explanation for why the podcast is called IRS on the Road. And the reason is, when it started 14 years ago, this is our 14th season, as some of you know, we were almost constantly on the road. We were speaking to audiences of parents and people seeking lifestyle changes and life balance. And
we were doing this on the way through security at some crazy airport.
Oh, this podcast. Yeah. We did it from airports. We did it from airplanes. And now our lives are just boring and sort of senile.
Not. It is really amazing how life never stops, right? There's always something. Something. If not something wonderful, something terrible, something crazy, something worrying.
Well, that kind of traveling and speaking, which we were doing like 100 days a year, ended abruptly with COVID. And we started doing everything by Zoom, and it was just so much easier.
It was. But we're ready for excitement. We're going to be talking to you next week from probably
Switzerland. You had to think there for a minute.
Yeah, because I think we're going to actually be in Italy.
No, not in a week.
In the Dolomites. Anyway, we don't have to tell them about that. But anyway.
But we will. As a matter of fact, that's a good segue, honey, because it leads right into the fact that we're going to be with our son, Talmadge, who's releasing a brand new book. He's written a book called Dad Mode, How to Connect, 25 Ways to Connect with Your Child. It's just a beautiful book. And we're going to be talking about that with him next week on the show.
We finally got a child who wrote their own book. We've had children that have written a lot of books with us, sometimes under coercion. But
we'll talk a little about that too.
The first time for him, and so it's so exciting. He is in Switzerland because he married a beautiful Swiss girl and got her back to her parents and her homeland, and they are thriving, but we don't see them quite as often as we do others. But thank goodness for the internet, because we can talk to them every day if we want. We can see them every day if we want.
Absolutely. Before we jump into this, Linda, and reveal the theme for today, which involves talking a little about our kids, but let's take a minute and let's thank BYU Radio. You know, we know a lot of podcasters, and it is not easy to do a podcast, at least for a lot of people. There's a lot of editing, a lot of preparation, a lot of scripting. It's just hard in many cases. And I feel almost guilty, because BYU Radio and our great producer, we sure like him. He got up early to help us.
James,
today.
Thank you. For
James Finlayson.
That.
And it just makes it easy for us. All we have to do is come up with a few ideas and talk. And Linda makes it easy for me, because when I start floundering or getting off the track or getting on a different subject, Linda just pulls me back. And so you're probably listening to the podcasters who have the easiest time of anyone we've ever met, thanks to BYU Radio.
Right. We are so blessed. So today we are going to have fun. I don't know. We're probably going to have more fun than the listeners.
The listeners. Well, let's start off with the word pride.
Okay. Good idea.
Or prideful.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of kinds of pride, and I guess you could say that all of them are bad, except maybe one exception, and that is a unique kind of pride that so many of us have experienced, and we have to be a little careful about it, but it's okay, because it's taking pride in your children. And every parent who's listening today, and every grandparent, has a little of that kind of pride. Now, maybe, or a lot of that kind of pride. Now, maybe you'd rather not call it that, because none of us want to be prideful. But What is the word we could use for how we feel about our children and our grandchildren? Because we're proud of them. It doesn't sound quite so bad when you say, I'm proud of them, as when you say, I have a lot of pride. I'm very prideful when it comes to my children and my grandchildren.
Well, you could just say grateful.
We
are so grateful because we did pray for these kids. We pleaded with the Lord to send us valiant souls. And I don't know if that always works. And I have to start this by saying that I have a dear, dear friend who grew up in the same place I did, same environment, wonderful members of our church and so on. And then
the roof fell in.
The roof fell in. It has fallen in. Her husband died about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And wow, she has been so valiant, so valiant. But all of her kids are, not all, I mean, not all of them, but
well,
some,
they're great.
All of
people.
Our kids have got problems too, but this is really serious. There are a lot of divorces, a lot of hard, really hard things, health things, all kinds of issues. And so, you know, you just never know. I mean, sure, I'm sure she prayed too.
Maybe we feel a little the same as what I just said. I didn't connect these things, but we've had an easy time on this podcast for 14 years because we've had so much help. And in a way, we've had, I'm not going to say easy, parenting is never easy, but we've had less problems and less sort of earth-shaking concerns, fewer problems. Maybe that's not right even. I don't know. Everyone has a different kind
of problem.
But we have had, you know, we've had a lot of help from a lot of people, just like on the podcast. And that makes it great. We've, because of what we do in our writing and traveling, we're around other parents a lot and they give us help and we learn from them. And the most important thing is we've just been blessed with really, really great kids. Now, again, before we jump into the prideful thing, we have to reiterate what you said, Linda. Every one of us as parents has worries, and they're no small worries as a parent, right?
Yeah, they really aren't.
And every one of our children has struggles, and there are no small struggles when you're talking about one of your kids, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe there's small struggles for you in your own life, and you say, oh, I can get through this, and this will be fine. But when it's your child, there's nothing that's small or insignificant.
Right. And you must know, too, that we all worry. We worry every morning, don't we? We wake up worrying about somebody or something that's happening in the family. And are they safe or are they grounded or, you know, all those things.
Or some part of our body that's not working that day.
Yeah.
So there's also that. Listen, we're just going to have to mention that we're in our condo in downtown Salt Lake today. And below us, there is some construction going on. And
every day.
You might hear a little buzzing noise at times. And when you do, just say, oh, gosh, the Irish are living with construction. Or you may not hear it. I don't know, but I thought I'd say that. Now, back to the prideful thing. How much do you brag about your kids? Hopefully not too much. And how much do you just sit and reflect quietly on how blessed you are to have them, which is more along the gratitude and maybe instead of pride, we should call it gratitude and awe and wonder. We sometimes feel those things when we think about our kids, especially those of you who are empty nest parents, and you kind of want your kids to still need you, and sort of maybe they don't, and maybe you need them more than they need you now.
Right.
I mean, the tables do turn, right?
Right. And well, I'm kind of grateful for every day that they don't need me.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Because they are independent, but I'm grateful for days they do need us too. And they're always hard rocks in the road, and there's just every week something happens, right?
So here's what we thought we'd do today, because we've had a lot of questions from listeners about, there's a certain inherent interest in our in our kids, because maybe you're reading one of our books, or you've heard us speak, or we're just together somewhere, and there's a lot of curiosity about our children, who are not children by any means. They're all grown-ups, and they're all, grown-ups is a funny word, by the way, but they're all doing their own thing. And I thought what we'd do today, we thought what we might try to do is to say, here's these, let's give you a review, not of our kids per se, but of things they're each doing that tend to do the same thing we've tried to do for most of our adult lives, which is to strengthen families, not only their own family, but they've all in some way or other. And what's interesting is none of them made it their life's work or their profession or sort of opted into what we're doing, but they've all managed just through blessings, I guess, to do something pretty significant for families in general. And so we're not going to tell you about their professions or what they've done in their own lives, all of which are great and we're happy for them and they all have struggles like we all do. But we're going to focus on what they've each tried to do as an avocation or as something alongside whatever their career or their main pursuit is that has really been pretty significant and interesting in terms of doing their thing to follow our sort of mission statement, which is to celebrate commitment, to popularize parenting, to bolster balance in life, and to validate values. So just for fun, and again, forgive the pride, but let's just talk about each of them. You started with Talmadge.
Okay, but first I have to say, I'm just thinking back to when our kids were all little kids at home up by the zoo. We lived in Salt Lake City up by the zoo, and we used to say, oh yeah, we live up by the zoo. We also live in a zoo.
We're part of the zoo.
And
it's a zoo in our house.
Crazy, but I remember seeing a 9-year-old boy thinking, what is going to happen to this boy, this kid? You know, he's always lost something. He's always this and that and the other. I thought, how is he ever going to be a responsible
Which
adult?
Which one are you thinking of?
I don't want to know. But it really is.
Could have been several of them.
It could have been several of them because they're always in some kind of trouble and one's so accident prone. And I just think, how in the world are they going to ever be okay? And they are okay. We're so grateful. But boy, that took a lot of years for them to figure it out and us to try and help them get through.
So in the second half, we're going to just go through our kids. Some of you know several of them. I mean, one of the great things for us now as we're getting older is we will run into someone who say, oh, I know your daughter. Oh, you're Shawnee's parents. Or we love that identification that goes on. And a lot of people know one or more of our kids through some of the things they're doing for families. But since you already started with Tal, let's talk about him for a minute and then take a break and then come back and talk a little about the other eight. So Tal has written this book, as I mentioned, called Dad Mode. It's being released on Father's Day, before Father's Day. It's being released on May 15th this year. And what I love about it is Tal has a degree from UPenn, a master's degree in positive psychology. And he has woven that into this book. I don't think I'd call it a parenting book per se, although that's deals with. How to be a dad who connects with children, who really has a connection with his children. And it's delightfully illustrated. It's short. I mean, it's not short. It's to the point. He gets right into things.
Well, the thing that is the best about this is that this child was our biggest worry when we were young because he couldn't read.
Well, they were all our biggest worry.
Couldn't read. Yeah, I remember worrying more about him than any of our other kids because we tried everything. I don't think it was dyslexia, but we had dyslexia. But we had him over at the university hospital, had him do tests on him, sitting in a little pod, having him listen to music. We had him trying so hard that he gave himself a headache every day and going to ESL. We was in the fourth grade for special learning. Yeah, no, not ESL.
His learning disabilities.
The other one where he gets special help from other teachers.
Contrast
he was embarrassed because he had to leave the class. And oh my goodness.
Published author.
And then he went to high school and still didn't read very well. He managed somehow to get some good grades. But
he had a lot of confidence. He was an all-state basketball player, played in college, and he has a wonderful personality. He was a student body officer. But they were learning things that were tough. And if there had been one thing you'd have said he'll probably never be, it's a published author. But here he is.
Right.
And it's a great book.
Right. He did have a gift for finding people who could help him. And it's kind of a miracle that he got into UPenn. He would admit that with Marty Seligman, who was the expert in the world at the time on positive psychology. And he just ate it up. He just loved it. So this is just to give you some hope if you have a child who's struggling.
Exactly. And let's take a brief break and then come back and go through the other eight, only in the sense of what they've done to try to help families. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Ayers on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back. We're talking about our kids today rather gingerly.
Let's start at the top and go on down,
yeah,
shall we? So our eldest daughter, Saren, who was named after the word serendipity, just kidding. I mean, in a way, she sort of was.
No, she was.
I wanted to call her Dipity.
Serendipity. Saren. Serendipity. I said, no, they will call her Dippity. We're not doing that. So
we're so blessed that she came along first because she helped us raise the other kids. Saren's a marvel. And some of you know that she has a wonderful organization called Power of Families. It started with something that she and a friend started called Power of Moms. They were holding seminars all over the place for moms, the power of moms. And it was sort of like, I mean, and you've seen this more and more, but she was early in this field,
yeah,
like a professional seminar on motherhood.
Right.
With
well,
speakers
she did
and workshops and the whole thing.
She did it with a wonderful friend and together it partnered on that. And that, it was so fun. They had lots of big all-day workshops at our home and just had so much fun with that. It was a marvel.
And as we go along, we're going to mention, for those of you that are really interested, with Tal, who we talked about earlier, just go on Amazon and put in Dad Mode and have a look at Tal's book. With Saren,
actually, just, you can pre-order it for Mother's Day, but we'll talk about
now,
that next week.
And go on and look up Power of Families. .com and you'll see Saren's work, and it's really wonderful what she's done. And she also worked for AmeriCorps for many years. We're going to stay though with the things that relate to strengthening families. Shawnee is next. Many of you follow Shawnee's very popular blog, 71toes.com. If you haven't ever seen it, you'll love to connect with that.
And you might be wondering why they named it that, because their fifth child was born with an extra toe. And so there were 71 toes in their whole family. And it's just easy to remember. But sadly, that extra toe is the sign of a syndrome, a fairly serious syndrome. This child is now 17.
But she's a marvel.
Is losing her sight, has had so many issues with the syndrome, and hard, but hard is good. And they have done a fabulous job.
So check out Shawnee. It's the numerals, 71. And then toes.com, 71 toes. And you'll love Shawnee's view of things. It's all about family. It's all about motherhood. It's all about, it's really about living life in a current world, a modern world, but keeping your priorities on your family. And Shawnee's been doing that blog for, I'm going to say, more than 10 years, probably more than 20 years.
Yeah. And for a long time. And she actually is a wonderful, faithful member of our church and a lover of Jesus Christ. And she doesn't mind talking about it.
She doesn't. She really talks wonderful on other podcasts about that and does a thing
as well as her
on own. Come Follow Me. And so, you know, we're proud, but in the grateful sort of odd way of Shawnee and all that she's done. And then we come to Josh, our teacher, our the best elementary school teacher in the world. I don't want to get off on that, though, because we could talk all day, but that is his contribution to families.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. He's so well-loved. Teacher of the Year. I mean, he's third grade. He's a single, and I think we've talked about him before. He just turned 50. We're still hoping, and he's an astronomer as well. And
among
that's
other things,
his contribution to our family, because he has made us love the beautiful heavens, which we've experienced this week with the eclipse. In fact, some kids went to Texas, some kids went to some fields in Missouri, but Josh bought a ticket to Boston, and he drove up to Maine, in his car two nights, and
be sure he didn't have clouds.
Fabulous pictures. Anyway, he's a delight.
But let's not overlook the fact, too, that if you want to see, we'll give you a website or something for every one of the kids, and Josh's is valuesparenting.com, all strung together, and you say, wait, that's your website. Well, it is, but guess who runs it?
It is
Josh.
Wonderful.
He's valuesparenting.com, and you'll see Josh's work all over that website, and we're so grateful to him. We couldn't do it, and he does it so beautifully. He's also the one that we both call when we can't make our computers work.
Oh, my goodness, yes. He is so great to work with and has changed a lot of lives for the best. Third graders. Wow.
Absolutely. And then you come to Sadie, who is our therapist. Sadie did her social work graduate degree at Columbia University in New York. She's a smart therapist. Is it okay when I need a therapist to go to my own daughter, because she'd be the one I'd choose.
She would tell you the truth.
Yeah, that's true. For sure. She does, even if I don't ask her.
Yes, she does. But she's doing a magnificent job with
helping
people sort out their lives. And it's the biggest need in our world today. And she's got such a tender heart and so, so bright.
For the reference point for Sadie, let's talk about for a minute In the Arena, the podcast that Sadie and Saren and Shawnee, who we mentioned, and Charity, who are coming to, all four
our
of
youngest
our daughters,
daughter.
In the Arena with the Iyer sisters. And it is, boy, if you want an intense weekly course in families and seeing it from all angles. They usually talk about how they were raised by us. We're always listening with a certain amount of fear is what they might reveal or what they might say, but then how they're doing it, how they're handling their own families. And so that's the point of reference we'll give you for Sadie.
This was so fun last week. I got to be on with them, and it was just a riot to sit there and look at those daughters who have surpassed me a long time ago, and teaching me is great.
So In the Arena, then we come to Jonah, the middle, the fifth of the nine. And we've talked a lot about Jonah on this podcast before, because he lives such an amazing lifestyle with his wife, Asia. And I think their contribution to family is just this sort of almost unbelievable, over-the-top example of how you really prioritize your family. Jonah is, I'm oversimplifying this, but he's basically given up worldly wealth in order to be basically a full-time dad in a lot of ways.
And to be a great example to us of taking care of the earth and taking care of the kids. I mean,
repurposing everything.
They live in Hawaii and Maui and upcountry cowboy country, and their 9-year-old, well, no, she's 11 now. Maybe 13. Anyway, she has a chicken farm in their backyard.
Night.
Yeah, I mean, she has this beautiful Taj Mahal chicken coop with these beautiful chickens she raised from babies. And 30 of them, and then she gave half of them, and she sold half of them, and now she's selling eggs. She's a little enterprise person.
Well, yeah, and that does illustrate the point that Of all the people I know in the world, no one has done as good a job as Jonah and his wife, Asia, of of teaching self-reliance,
teaching responsibility.
And responsibility.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it's quite amazing. And he's an example for us and for so many. And then you come to Talmadge, who we've already talked about, who the way to connect with Tal is look at his book, Dad Mode. We'll talk more about that next week when we're with him in Switzerland. And then we're going to lump two together, Noah and Eli, who are in the same company. And their company is called Allegra Learning or Joy School. And of course, Joy School, as so many of you know, was the name of our preschool curriculum, still is. Many people still doing Joy School. Joy Schools with an S, .com is the place to find that. But Noah and Eli have named their company Joy Schools, or what they produce as Joy School. And it is essentially an English learning company for kids who speak English, not as a second language, but as it's the language that they're not kids who, you know, want to learn English. They're kids who
need to learn English because they're
immigrants and they're coming in, and their program is a wonderful interactive program that teaches verbal skills. It's not so interested in reading English. It's interested in speaking English, and it connects kids with the whole world. In fact, their tagline of their company is meaningful connections, and boy, do they work hard at it. And they're in schools all over this country and in Asia and in certain other places. And the beauty of it is, and where it really ties in so closely to our passion, is that their goal is to not only have kids learn to speak English, but to learn values as they speak the English. So their videos or their dialogues or the things they do are not talking about going to the store or walking to school. They're talking about honesty or about courage or about respect. And so imagine the power of teaching kids in the schools with this program that the schools buy from their company to teach them not only how to speak English, but how to incorporate that into their value system.
But those two are, and it's kind of sad to separate, I mean, to lump them together, because they have such interesting different personalities. Yeah. I think maybe Noah was that 9-year-old that I wanted to whatever.
He's the one we left at a gas station once and didn't discover he was gone for 50 miles, which is funny when you think about it, because he's not a shy retiring.
No, he's not. Young man. No, it might not have been 50, but he was sitting on a chair out on the at the gas station. The guy had given him a Coke, and he was
sitting there waiting for us to come back. But anyway, those two, and Eli is so brings such a wonderful artistry and sense of creativity.
Just a wonderful mind. And they've all produced, of course, the most beautiful grandchildren in the world. But wow, these two still have little kids, and as well as their youngest daughter. And it's so fun. I mean, the adult kids are so fabulous, and they're just terrific. But these little kids are the joy of our life.
So for Noah and Eli, go to AllegraLearning.com, and you can, if you're interested, to learn more about what they're doing in teaching English and values. And then we come to our baby, Charity, and we're really thinking a lot about her right now, because we're hoping that she's going to work with us in revising our number one New York Times bestseller, Teaching Your Children Values. We're working on a new edition. You can see why. I mean, the values never change, but the challenges to those values today and back when the book was published are very different, much greater. And so, you know, we're hoping Charity will help us do that. But she
has a mind of her own and a career of her own. And so it's really getting tricky.
Well, thanks for mentioning that, because she's a doula. She teaches classes on childbirth.
On natural childbirth.
How do you get more involved in family than that?
Right? I don't know. That's so fun.
She has a beautiful blog. Her last name is Wright, and so naturally the blog is called
Right now.
Right now. WRIGHTnow.com. So we're so proud of her, and she's in the trenches, as Linda likes to say, because she had four children.
Four
and under.
Yeah.
Right, for a few months.
Four, so. Two, and twins in London in on her London. Own. Natural childbirth.
Well, on her own with her husband, Ian.
Well, she gave birth by herself. But it was during COVID. So
that's how most women give birth.
Her husband was not even with her in the room when she had that ultrasound. Right. She had left a 4 and 2 year old at home. And then they said, well, it's twins. And she's like, No, take that picture again. No, I can't do twins. But she has done twins beautifully.
Linda, we're out of time. And wow, some listeners are like, oh my gosh, I just listened to two parents just brag about their kids for half an hour. But hopefully you'll see why we're doing that. We're just so happy that in their own way, each of them have embraced the priority of not only their own family, but of doing what they can to help other families. And that just makes us so happy, because that's where we think it's at.
It is. And I draw a deep breath thinking this was kind of hard to do because, whoa, scary. We hope that you're not overwhelmed, but we'll end where we started.
We could do a whole other show on the problems.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that next time. Yeah. But we are so grateful and so blessed to have these children in our lives. And I know you feel the same about your children, maybe not today, but by next week when you get through the next really hard thing that you're dealing with. But thanks for listening. We appreciate
you. I think we've mentioned every one of them in terms of a website that you, if you have further interest, you can re-roll this podcast and listen how to reach them online.
Whatever.
And,
yeah.
And we love them and love what they're doing. And we love you as fellow parents and grandparents. May we all feel the kind of pride that parents have a right to feel, but may we also get through the tough times and keep on going toward the family life that we all want so much.
So thanks for joining us and for listening. And we'll see you next time on I Hear's on the Road. Bye-bye.